Welcome to the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. Today I will be talking about the idea of a case theory and what that means. I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal people, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. Now, case theory, let's just jump straight into this quick and dirty episode. Okay, it's not going to be dirty. I do try to keep it clean. But it'll be brief. A case theory is an idea of how something happened. Again, because it's easy for me, let's talk about a criminal case. The case theory, it can refer to a few different things. Lawyers use it to refer to our idea about what has happened, the version of events that we think the court needs to hear. And it might be as simple as it's a self-defense matter. So the case theory is the victim died because they attacked our client and our client had to defend themselves. That's the case theory. There might be things that take it more in depth, but that's basically what a case theory is in a nutshell. Now, case theories are not just used by lawyers, they're also used by police. And sometimes the police develop a theory of what's happened for many reasons, and they fixate on that particular theory of how things have happened, and sometimes it's wrong. One of the most famous cases in Australia is the case of Lindy Chamberlain. Now, a year or so ago, I read a giant book, an autobiography written by Lindy Chamberlain called Through My Eyes. And the version I've got is quite old, and it's got some things in it that are probably a bit out of date now in terms of expressions that we probably wouldn't use these days. This was written in 1990, so it was really interesting to read. It talks about Lindy Chamberlain and her life before her daughter Azaria was taken by a dingo, all of the legal ins and outs, her time in jail, her relationship with her former husband, and just basically goes super in depth into her life. But one of the key things that comes out is that the police had a case theory that she killed her baby, and they saw pieces of what they thought were evidence. They interpreted them in a certain way, because in their minds they knew what had happened. They knew that she'd killed her baby. And of course, as we know, Lindy Chamberlain was convicted a few times. She had appeals, and very far down the track, after spending a really long time in jail, she was actually exonerated. But that is a really interesting and very well-known example of a case theory where it's gone wrong. Now, I've talked before about unconscious bias, and we need to be well aware of the power of a police case theory in getting to the bottom of crimes. And I'm absolutely not here to criticize police. I'm just here to point out that sometimes when investigations are happening, for various reasons, ideas are held in the minds of the police about perhaps how people have acted, and they don't think that normal people would act in that way. I'll use normal in air quotes there. Or perhaps they think stereotypically, like this crime would be committed by this type of person. Or, you know, in the case of Lindy Chamberlain, that it's just implausible that a dingo could carry away an infant, which we know is not true at all. So case theory can play a huge role in solving a crime correctly. It can play a huge role in whether investigations look at all relevant possibilities. Another case that really springs to mind for me is the case of Kelly Lane and baby Tegan. She has been convicted of murdering baby Tegan. Having listened to the evidence in that matter in terms of plausible explanations for where that child might actually be, I'm surprised that a jury convicted her beyond a reasonable doubt, but I wasn't in the courtroom. I didn't see everything that happened. I didn't see every piece of evidence. So there might have been something there that us as outsiders just haven't seen or don't know that really cemented it in the mind of the jury. But when I watched the most recent program on the ABC about Kelly Lane, it sort of made me realise that one of the key people involved in taking the disappearance of baby Tegan forward as a criminal matter rather than as a, oh gosh, I wonder where that child is, I hope she's in good care matter, was a docks worker who thought that it was suspicious and took his suspicions to police. And it appears that a large part of that suspicion came about because he didn't think that Kelly Lane was acting in the way that a woman who had had a baby and given that baby to someone for an adoption would act. And the reason that I mentioned both the Kelly Lane matter and the Lindy Chamberlain matter is that I'm someone who is perhaps not the most stereotypical of female, feminine, femme types. And I honestly don't know how I would react in those situations. I don't know whether I would react in the way that a woman is quote unquote supposed to act. So I guess for me, I look at these two cases and I think, ooh, I wonder what kind of disadvantage people like me, non-stereotypical women types, people who maybe don't react in an emotional way. Not that I think many women actually do. We're pretty tough. But people who might not react in a way that's conventional seem to cop it a little bit when case theories are developed. I think that what really needs to be done is that probably more training on unconscious bias and examining ourselves and our assumptions needs to happen if we're in a position to develop a case theory. So as lawyers or police, we need to think about, okay, like, am I actually taking into account everything that I'm seeing before me and building something that is like the irresistible conclusion of this? Or have I taken bits and bobs and I think that this is what happened because it just conforms with my worldview of how this should have happened or what a person in this position would do? And don't get me wrong, there is plenty of room for common sense. There's plenty of room for learning about how certain types of victims and things generally react, but you also really need to have a close eye to whether your biases are infecting the case theory that you're developing. So there we go. Case theory. They can be right, they can be wrong, they can be helpful, they can be not helpful, they can be infected by unconscious bias or even just overt racism in some matters. They can be affected by sexism and other things like that. So it's really important not only to question ourselves and why we think the way we do, but I think it's also a really good argument for keeping a diverse police force and a diverse legal profession so that people can actually expect justice and fair investigation. Because if you or I were on the other side and we were the people being investigated, we would want an open mind to be kept, particularly if we were innocent. Am I right about that? I'm right about that. And of course, we would be innocent. So we would want every stone turned over, and we wouldn't want investigations to be cut off simply because perhaps we're not super emotional, we're very stoic. Maybe we like to cry in private, maybe we don't react with tears, maybe we're not particularly motherly seeming types to other people, maybe we are, but what I would like to see is just a really strong open mind in all cases, so that even if it's quickly set aside, even if there is a quick and easy path to working out what happened, and even if that's the right one, at least a thought goes to, well, okay, is this the only path? Am I excluding something prematurely? So, thank you so much for joining me today. I know it's been pretty quick, but I think that's a pretty easy to understand explanation of what a case theory is. I'd like to give a quick shout out before the end of this episode to Canberra Community Law and the Women's Legal Centre of the ACT. They've been putting out heaps of content for people who want information about their employment entitlements and about job seeker payments, job keeper payments, the disability support payment, how all of these interact and how the COVID-19 measures to do with social welfare might impact them or how they can benefit from them. So if you need help in that respect, please have a look at the websites of Canberra Community Law or the Women's Legal Centre of the ACT and region. You can also find them on Facebook. They've been doing excellent, excellent work. So thanks again for joining me, and particular thanks to all of our community legal centres in this really difficult COVID-19 time. I in fact got stood down on Friday from my work, so I will definitely be perusing the information put out by those two services just in case there's something I haven't picked up along the way. So please all take care, look after yourselves, look after each other, and I'll talk to you another time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.